Ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman and George Evans, and starring Leslie Phillips, Stephen Murray, and John Pertwee. Moods are like politicians. They're totally unpredictable. And so are people. My uncle is a people. He's a man of moods, and they're all bad ones. Ask Auntie. At this moment, Lieutenant Commander Murray is a man of moods, and nobody wants to speak to him or invite him anywhere except the twit of the ship, Sub-Lieutenant Phillips, who has invited Commander Murray into the wardroom of HMS Troutbridge for a login, and to his surprise, a nagging.
Commander Murray, sir, you'll have a shandy, I suppose.
Mr. Phillips, are you insinuating that I can't leave the stuff alone? Are you insinuating that I'm a shandy addict? You think I'm hooked on shandy? I can take shandy or leave it alone. In any case, I prefer pink gin.
Certainly, sir. Would you like a chair?
Mr. Phillips, are you suggesting that I'm incapable of standing? I haven't had anything before, you know. This is the first of the day.
No, sir. No, I quite understand. You'd like a pink gin, as usual.
As usual? Are you insinuating that I'm hooked on gin? I can take gin or leave it alone, you know. In any case, I don't like that chair. I shall sit in this one.
Well, I don't blame you, sir. If you feel like it, you can sit in both of them.
Why should I sit in two chairs?
No, sir, no, I just meant...
You meant that you don't believe this is my first drink of the day. In other words, Mr. Phillips, you're calling me a liar. No, that settles it. I shan't sit down at all. Stand up. Probably for hours. No, I won't. I'll prove to you that I'm sober. You see the edge of that carpet? I shall walk up and down it in a perfectly straight line. There you are. Watch.
Hello, Mr. Phillips, sir. Hello, Commander Murray, sir. Yeah, why are you walking up and down the edge of that carpet? Mind you don't fall off.
Another one! It's obviously a plot to make me lose my commission. It won't work.
Pardon?
You're insinuating that I'm hooked on gin.
Pardon?
You think I have to have my gin no matter what happens?
Pardon?
I can take gin or leave it alone, you know. What's more, I shan't even bother to stand. I shall leave. And will you notice, gentlemen, that I'm also leaving my pink gin untouched? I haven't even sipped it. Good morning.
He's twisted his think box.
Well, twisting one's think box can happen to anybody, Chief, you know. Your whole brain seems to snap. The tension gets too much. You know. You feel you're going mad. Everything gets on top of you. You're all twisted up inside. It happened to me only last week.
Blimey, whatever happened, sir?
Some rotter took the string off my yo-yo. They substituted a long piece of elastic.
What happened?
I couldn't control it. It kept going boing, boing, boing. I couldn't stand it. It was driving me crazy, I tell you. Boing, boing, boing all over the place. Boing, 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 boing. Hit me on the kneecaps, boing. Hit me on the elbow, boing. Hit me on the back of my neck, boing. I couldn't even stop the boinging thing. I thought the whole world was going raving mad. Mad, I tell you, stop raving, boinging mad. Mad! Mad!
Mr. Phillips, you're going a funny colour, sir. It don't suit you. Purple mushies clash with sailor suits.
I'm frankly sorry, Chief, I got carried away.
Well, I thought you were going to be.
Mr. Phillips.
Ah! Here you are. Now this one's got to start again.
No, it's quite all right, Chief. I just come back to apologise.
Oh, thank heavens for that, sir. What made you go bang berserk and bonkers?
Oh, it's a private matter.
Is it?
I don't want to talk about it.
No.
It's nothing to do... Oh, very well, you persuaded me. I may as well put foolish pride to one side. I may as well come out of it. Next Monday is a very special date for my wife, Rita Kins. I mean, Rita and myself.
Next Monday? What's so special about next Monday for you and Mrs... Hang on, I got it. I got it! It's your anniversary! It's a year since you nuptialed her. since you had your nuptials. I mean, since you made her an honest woman. Well, as we all said at the time, get in, mate, it's your birthday. No. who'd have thought you'd both been at it for... No. Been for a year, eh? That time flies when you're enjoying yourself. Sir, thank you, sir. Congratulations.
Yes, and mine too, sir. Mine too. Gosh, your first wedding anniversary. Oh, that reminds me. I was telling you a week or two ago about my comic and how they had a fascinating article about this. Yeah, the derivation of words. Well, it wasn't an article exactly. It was all in pictures. Well, funny enough, this week they said where the word anniversary comes from.
Oh, dear. Ooh. Here he goes.
Yeah, I think I will too, sir.
No, you don't, Jim. I've got to listen to his rubbish, so have you.
No. Now, the word anniversary, now it starts with Anne, who was the queen at the time, who is now dead, which doesn't apply to you because your wife's name is Rita. Then comes Ivy. And not the girl's name, because your wife's name is Rita, so that wouldn't apply either. You see, IV from the Roman numerals, which mean four, which also doesn't apply, because this is your first. After that comes Erse, a Highland Gaelic dialect unused and disliked in Ireland.
He's out of control now.
No, it all makes sense. Now, Erse is an early Scottish form of Irish, which doesn't apply to you because you're English, so that leaves Ari, which doesn't apply to you either because your name is Stephen. So there you are, you see.
I see. That means that next Monday, Commander and Mrs. Murray are celebrating their fourth anniversary, which should be their first, with somebody called Anne or Ivy in a Highland Gaelic dialect, with somebody else called Ari, whose real name is Stephen, who is unused and disliked in Ireland.
Exactly.
I've never heard such a load of old flannel in my life.
Ah, that's another word they did, flannel. Yes. Flan, meaning a dessert or cake, usually filled with peaches. N, a feathered bird that lays eggs. And L, a coarse expression, as in, what the...
Oh, shut up, sir!
See, gentlemen, obviously I've got to do something to celebrate this anniversary.
Yes, sir.
She's insisting on a whacking great anniversary party, which is going to cost me a fortune.
Splendid idea, sir, and thank you very much. I'm available, sir. Yes.
Yeah, never mind all that. How am I going to raise the money to pay for the booze for the party? She wants champagne.
Don't you worry, sir. Pertwee has some acquaintanceships and boats in high places.
Oh, thank goodness somebody's here. I thought the ship was deserted. You've got to help me.
Hang on. You, what was that pong what came in with Captain Poley? Who's coming covered in sweet violets?
It's my aftershave.
I'm very relieved to hear it, sir. Now then, what seems to be the problem?
Well, it's my au pair.
Au pair of what?
Oh, a very nice pair. Well, she's what you call a home help.
I'll bet she is. You dirty devil.
No, it's not like that at all. We had two answers to my dear wife Ramona's advert in the Sitzvac column in the local paper.
Sitzvac?
Situation meaning a job vacant. As in your brain.
Thank you very much, sir.
Well, my problem is that one of the applicants was an elderly lady and the other one was an absolute crack. A young lady in her early 20s.
Your problem is that Mrs. Povey's picked the elderly one.
Sort of, yes. You see, inadvertently, quite by accident, because I'm overworked and a married man, somehow or other, I seem to have attached a photograph of the elderly lady, the one my dear wife picked, to the letter with the address of the absolute crack. The younger lady. And she's arriving today.
And you're afraid to go home, sir.
He's windy.
Not at all. It's just that, as I'm overworked and a married man, and under tremendous pressure in the office, as well as at home, I wonder, Chief, if you'd like to take my authority for a jeep to the motor pool and drive one to my home and, tell my wife that,
You'll be working late at the office tonight.
Exactly.
And in any case, you daren't go home until you stop ponging like Kew Gardens.
But it wasn't my fault, you see. I'd never used the stuff before. They should put instructions on it. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to use the whole bottle at one go. Never mind about you and your bottle of aftershave soap. What am I going to do about my dozens of bottles of champagne?
Don't panic, sir. One problem at a time. Now then, now that Perp is the use of a jeep, I think both your problems will be solved.
Kindly take your finger off me ding-dong. You're wearing it out. Now, who are you? I'm Mrs. Ramona Povey, and I'm very busy. Speak now.
Blimey, you're a rum and you know me, Stone.
I'm a what?
Stone me, you got claw ears as well. A rum and. I'm Maisie Klinger, what's in answer to your ad, and I? When do I start?
Oh, good gracious. Considerably younger than the photograph I saw. I take it that was your mother.
No, that was Sid.
I beg your pardon?
He always was a lousy photographer. Mind you, he's all right when you're stripped off. You were asking me to come and do you someday.
Oh, that's very kind of you, but I don't think I'll bother. Now then, it's highly unlikely that you'll be satisfactory, but you better come in, wipe your shoes, and admire my dear mother's bust. On the pedestal. It was her present to my husband on his birthday. This way into the Ramona paid for lounge, and mind you don't dent the Ramona paid for cushions when you sit down.
Well, I think I'll stand. Me rear's a bit queer from the bus.
Have you done this type of work before?
Of course. I used to clean out the public bar every morning in the Knacker's Yard Arms. But I don't do loos.
I couldn't agree with you more. My husband Henry will continue to attend to our little penny room. After all, I may be employing you, but I don't intend to let him slack off.
Well, I must say you've done yourself proud with this pad. All the gear's dead old-fashioned, real 1930 horrible. But it looks brand new.
I can assure you it's all original. Only I use this room. Captain Povey, who has the honour to be my husband, is only allowed in here. He's only allowed in here to stand and admire it for an hour or two on bank holidays. You see, it's his treats.
Poor old geezer. Still, it's nice to meet someone who's a mistress.
I beg your pardon.
No, I don't mean you've been chucking it about. I mean, it's nice to see you're in charge in your own home.
Oh, I'm that all right. Mind you, he rebels at times if I give him too much fresh meat. Well, you seem to be an understanding sort of a girl. Although in the very nicest possible way, you are a trifle uncouth. Then, of course, you are a domestic. Fortunately, nobody can call me a snob, so you're hired.
Oh, ta. What's the bread like?
We have one loaf a week. And it's always fresh on Mondays.
No, not bread. I mean bread loot, gold. The folding stuff. What am I in for?
Oh, the financial aspect. I'll give you a week's trial. And then, if you're satisfactory, we'll discuss your remuneration and uniform. Right, you're started. First duty, answer the Ramona paid-for door.
Mr. and Mrs. Captain Purvey's residence. With whom am I about to have the pleasure?
Oh,
pardon?
Hen only Hoskin, because she's in, but he's out.
Blimey, old Thundercatsby's right, she is a cracker. Pardon my interrupticals for the crude and ensure, but one would like to exchange pleasantries with the lady of the elf.
By all means. I'm Miss Izzy, it's a sailor for you.
Right, tell him to wait, I shan't be a tick. I'm just preparing Henry's sardine and his baked bean.
Never you mind her, girl. What time did you get off?
Search me.
Yes, I did that in mind, yes. I was just wondering if you care to join me, myself and I, in a spot of A-class nosh. As you observe, I do have the transport.
Saucy. You don't waste much time, do you?
Well, I can't, can I? I've only got the jeep till morning. Got to arrange up west, I assume, for a load of champagne at reduced prices due to the fact that it fell off the back of an acquaintance of man's lorry. So how about coming with me? We could split a crate or two and get some up our rooters.
No, Tar, I always find champers makes me burp.
Yeah, my sediments, exactly. Yeah. Well, in that case, it'll be brown ales all round, eh?
Well, I dunno.
Oh, come on. Come on, lady. It's a great big world out there, you know. Waiting for beautiful women like you to grace its presence. Can you imagine the thrill it would be for me, i.e. me and myself, to take you to Fortnum & Masonic's? And cover your radiant personage with diamonds, minxes, haute-couture gowns and feminine knickknacks, and unmentionable. How can a lady as dynamically radiant and beautiful as you and yourself refuse an humble metlu like me the unbounded pleasure?
Oh, how dare you! I'm not denying that I am dynamically radiant and beautiful. But I am also a married woman.
I was talking to the young lady.
Yes, however, I realise that you're a foolish, romantic boy, so you'll just have to adore me madly from afar off.
Pardon?
I won't pretend that I'm not flattered. However, here is my hanky. You may have it and put it under the pillow of your hammock.
Come in.
You wanted to see me, Mr. Phillips?
Yes, Chief, it's rather urgent.
Yes.
Who is it?
It's me, the captain. Permission to enter the wardroom?
Rather, sir.
Now, what's all this about?
Well, if it's about them two crates of empties that appear to have gone missing from behind the wardroom bar, sir, and the malicious rumour that a gent, who must be my double, has been seen flogging them at the Popple's Head for one new pence a bottle... It's a dirty communist lie, sir.
I didn't know we'd got a couple of crates of beer bottles missing.
Neither did I, sir. Came as a complete surprise to me to hear myself saying it.
Now, never mind about old beer bottles. This is far more important. I want your opinion. It all concerns a competition for an ice cream commercial in my comic.
It's what?
Now, here, let me read it to you. Now, it's headed Reader's Competition. To TV or not to TV, here is the question. Readers of Biff Baff Boff Boys Weekly are invited to submit their ideas for a television commercial advertising your very own comics ice cream. The winner to receive a 20 new pence block of whatever flavoured ice cream he would like for every day of the year.
Mr. Phillips, do you mean you brought the chief and myself in here urgently because you can't make up your mind whether you want raspberry, vanilla, strawberry or chocolate?
In Mr. Phillips' case, sir, there's only one answer. Nutty flavoured.
No. I want you to hear my idea for this television commercial for the ice cream before I submit it. Now, as I see it, we open up on this chap, you see, this chap who is standing on the top of a bridge as the Riviera Express roars underneath, clutching his block of Biff Baff Boff ice cream. He drops down on the roof of one of the carriages, and when it comes out at the other end of the tunnel, he's all dressed in black because it's a steam train. But his Biff Baff Boff ice cream is all right because he shoved it up his jumper.
I think we could sit down. This is obviously going to take a long time.
No, it isn't. Now, the commercial only lasts 30 seconds. Now, here comes the exciting bit. No, the helicopter picks him off the roof of the train with his biff-baff-boff block of ice cream. Actually, it was with a rope ladder, because you can't climb into a helicopter on blocks of biff-baff-boff ice cream. Now, the helicopter... No.
You surprise me.
Now, the helicopter drops him on the saddle of a horse at the edge of a lake. Quickly strapping his block of biff-baff-boff ice cream to the horse's front leg, he thunders through the water to the motorboat. He's actually drenched. Well, the biff-baff-boff block of ice cream is all right, because the horse held its hoof above the water and hopped along. What happened next? Quickly changing into his frogman set and strapping his block of biff-boff...
Strapping the what?
But his boff biff... his ice cream onto the top of his head. He swims up the lake where all these heavily armed foreign agents are waiting for him. No, it's all right. It's all right. No, it's quite all right. They don't shoot at him because they don't want to risk hitting his block of biff-boff black ice cream. So... he climbs this tower, and he jumps through this open window, which must be open, because it's in his contract he mustn't hurt himself, and places it on this beautiful princess's bedside table.
I've never heard such a load of old tutti-frutti in my life.
No, this is the big finale. Just as he leaves, the beautiful princess sits up in bed in her diaphanous nightie and picks up her biff-baff-boff ice cream and holds it up.
Biff-baff-boff ice cream.
Oh, she holds it up, you see, and she reads the card on the top and looks at it adoringly.
Stoney. Is that the end, I hope?
Not quite. After being bashed about on the train and flown about in a helicopter, thundered on a horse's hoof, the biff-baff-boff block of ice cream has melted. And it drips down a gap in her nightie.
Send your entry in, sir. A winner if ever I heard one. You'll be the right Nana flavour of the month.
Ah, but I missed out the best bit. Behind all this, I want the band of the Coldstream Guards and a choir of 101 voices all playing and singing this tune. I'm 21, Biff Baff Boff Ice Cream Manufacturers Limited, years old today. I'm 21, Biff Baff Boff Ice Cream Manufacturers Limited, old today. I've got the cone of the door, never been Knickerbocker Glory before. Father says the chalk ice I'd like with raspberries to adorn it. For it's a jolly good biff-baff-off ice cream, so stuff it in your cornet. There. What do you think of it?
In a short, succinct sentence, Mr. Phillips, I suggest you'd be better off playing with your elastic string yo-yo.
Ah, I thought it was you. You were the one who pinched the string off my yo-yo, weren't you? Boing, boing, boing all over the place. Boing. It hit me on my kneecap. Boing. It hit me on my elbow. Boing. It hit me on the back of my neck. Boing. Nothing but boing, boing, boing.
Come away from him, Chief. He's gone boing, 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 bonkers. Yeah, incidentally, Chief, I trust you've got my cut-price booze for the anniversary from Honest Fred.
But I can assure you, it'll all be British-type genuine imitation Spanish plonk. A guaranteed burp in every bottle.
Lovely party, Commander Murray, sir.
Well, it is if you haven't got to pay for the champagne.
Never mind, sir. I'll help you out.
You really? You see, I issued a cheque for £30 and I'm already overdrawn at the bank.
Oh, I didn't mean money, sir. I mean ice cream.
Pardon?
You see, I won the biff-baff-boff's year's supply of ice cream. And I've asked them to send the first of the 365 blocks of ice cream here.
Oh, very kind. Should work out at a teaspoonful each.
Look out, sir. Here comes Mrs. Povey. We'd better...
That's too late. She's seen us.
Right. Now you're the host. Where's the Admiral? I want a word with him.
Oh, dear. Is there something wrong?
No, 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 no. It's a jolly good party. I really must congratulate...
Silence! Ramona's chatting. Ah, now there's the Admiral. I shall go and instruct him about speeding up your promotion.
Oh, Ramona, my love, I'd much rather you didn't.
Don't you snap at me. And don't slouch. Or bending the crease in your father's trousers.
Sorry, my love.
Good evening, Commander Murray, sir. Splendid, do. I trust the bubbly that I got you is a very good non-vintage. May I introduce my lady acquaintance of the opposite sex?
How do you do? Let me refill your glass.
No, Tar, I'm all full of wind now. And something else, that stuff doesn't all go through you. And something else, Tar,
yes, well, I think it's time we percolate in amongst the guests. Come along, Maisie.
Boy, are you the governor?
Yes, who are you?
We're working for Biff Baff Bop Ice Cream, and we're looking for someone named Leslie Phyllis.
Yes, well, that's me. I'm Leslie Phyllis. Phillips. Where's my block of ice cream?
Outside in the van.
Gosh, fancy sending two people to deliver one block of ice cream.
One? Come off it. You want a year's supply. There are 365 of them out there.
What?
Right, where do you want them, then?
Well, we can't possibly store 365 blocks of ice cream.
That's your problem. Eat one of them, you're stuck with them.
Come on, somebody. Have some more ice cream. Please, it's beginning to melt. Admiral, you'd like another plateful, wouldn't you?
You potty. Nobody can eat any more. We all feel like the nukes of the Northern Eskimo Nels now.
Ah, there you are, Commander Murray. I thought I would come unto you and thank you for delivering unto us such a splendid do. Splendid do.
Thank you very much, Padre, but... tell you the truth, I'm terribly worried about the expense.
Be of good cheer, Commander Murray. Verily, verily, I shall help you out.
Would you really? You see, I received a cheque for £30 and I'm already overdrawn at the bank.
Aren't we all? But I didn't mean with filthy lucre. I mean I shall help because I do not imbibe alcohol, and in any case I couldn't because I'm full up unto the brim with Biff Baff Bop ice cream. With its coat of many flavours.
Excuse me, gents all assembled.
What is it, Chief?
What's gone wrong now?
Mr. Phillips' ice cream and Mrs. Commander Murray's all spouts and Betty.
What?
She's ate the lot, sir, cardboard boxes and all.
Oh, no!
Oh, yes, sir. And if what gardeners say about horses is true, you're going to have a flourishing lawn by tomorrow. So, it's all the same to you, sir. I'll be on my way with Maisie before the cultivating starts.
Murray, you twit, where the hell have you been? Don't argue. It's been a lovely party. How much do I owe you?
Owe me?
Well, yes, for this lot, of course. As the bride's father, I paid for the reception, so I might as well pay for this too. But I'm warning you, next year's anniversary is on you.
Oh, thank you very much, sir. You've no idea what a relief.
Well, not at all. Now, if you want your wedding anniversary to be a success, you better find some way of thawing your wife's horse out. Or Rita will go potty.
Lummy, look at it. It's frozen stiff.
Of course it is. Blasted thing's jam-packed full of ice cream. Looks a bit stuffed. Well, into the house, everybody. Grab a bottle. And remember, the first three are mine.
Leslie Phillips, Stephen Murray and John Pertwee have been biff-baff-bopping their way through The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman and George Evans. Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant, Stephen Murray was the CO, John Pertwee was the chief petty officer, Captain Purvey was played by Richard Caldicott, Mrs. Purvey was Heather Chasen, the Admiral was Tenuel Evans, the Padre was Michael Bates, and Maisie was Norma Ronald. The show was produced by Alistair Scott Johnston. ¶¶